Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. I do appreciate it. And remember, you can support the Father's State by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate. And also, you can support us on locals.com. And thank you all in advance. I have with me today, very Mamma Mia, hola, Cecilia. Very, very interesting guest. I have with me John Farley. And John is a comedian, actor, and a younger brother of Chris Farley. John, thank you for coming, man.
Thank you, Jesse, for having me.
This is amazing.
This is a great place. I love it.
Thank you.
Heck yeah.
It's interesting looking at you and I see your brother.
Yeah, I know. I'm the youngest of the Farley clan.
Really?
We get younger. I told you the joke already. We get younger as we get, skinnier as we get younger. I got the speed and, the rest of the boys got the bulk. And so, I ran away when they were, hungry.
So are I read that you have like four brothers and sisters, I think?
Yeah.
And so they're all into
they're
movie
no,
industry?
Our oldest is my sister, Barbara Ann, and she's back in Wisconsin. And then comes Tommy Farley, who's in Wisconsin, both not actors. And then Chris, Kevin, and myself, we jumped into the acting. Chris went first. He worked for my dad, who was a paved roads.
Oh.
Basically, he bought the oil for the roads. And so Christopher worked for him for a while, and then he said, I want to try go down to Second City in Chicago and see if that works. And he goes, all right. My dad was like, good luck. And he never came back.
Nice.
Yeah.
What made you decide to get into the movie industry?
In the movie industry, I graduated college, Jesuit school in Denver, Colorado, college. And I had my brother Tommy, who I told you about, he was in business. He did banking and stuff. And Christopher was in, he was Saturday Night Live. And they had both arms and they were going to business, going to acting. And I went, I'm going to acting. Cause
do you regret doing it?
God, yes, every day. No, I'm just kidding. It's been a blast, but you got to have more than just acting sometimes. So, because it gets a little boring when you're not acting.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to, people think like, I'll do a movie and then just relax by the pool. And no, it gets pretty boring. So you've got to keep your brain going by writing something or putting on a show or it's.
How did you change from, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, coming to California and getting into the movie industry.
Yeah.
You changed from what to what?
I changed from, I was at Second City in Chicago, and I was writing shows for those guys, live. We'd base off our shows off of improv, suggested from the audience, and then we'd build a show from there every 6 months or so, roughly. And then in the day before, when I was training, to learn improv, I worked at the Board of Trade. So I worked at buying and selling stocks, which I wasn't very good at. I was what's called a runner.
Right.
So back in the day before they had computers, they had these pieces of paper.
I remember that.
Yeah. So you take that paper and you run it over to somebody else.
Yep.
And then sometimes I get lost. And I was like, I was supposed to. One time I went in Chicago, I went to go get some hot dogs. And then some young kid about my age came running out after me, goes, where's all the orders? And I had a huge stack of like stocks in my pocket that I wasn't supposed to leave the floor with. And I went, oh, here you go, sorry.
You're like, what the?
Yeah, I got fired from that one. But if I could get to another monetary pit before my reputation did, then I could probably get another job.
Yeah.
And I go, can I get a job? Can I be a runner? And they're like, all right, we'll hire you. And then some guy would be like, that guy just got fired. And I was like, you hired me. It's too late now.
It's over.
Yeah.
He already got you. What's important to you?
Important to me, family, religion, comedy, God, of course, my wife. Those are the important things. Love hanging out with my kids. They're fun. I'm always like, coaching soccer or coaching a baseball team, and they always they know when I'm yelling.
How many do you have?
Kids. We have three kids.
Really?
Yes.
And so you're married. How long have you been married?
Been married for, I have no idea anymore. No, 2005. That's 19, going on 20 years in May.
And are you the head of your wife?
Good God, no.
You're not ahead of your...
Ahead of my wife? I'm the head. She's the neck, as they say. She turns the head left or right, and she's the one that directs everything.
Really?
And I'm the one that says, that's a great idea. But, yeah, I don't...
So does she obey you?
Oh, boy, that's a good... That's funny. You should be a comedian. She obey me? No. We. She has great ideas. And I say, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And then I have ideas that aren't so great. I don't know what to say. Let me see. Does she obey me? Yeah, to the point where she says that's a crazy idea. I think you're insane. And let's give it a shot. And I'll show, see what happens.
So,
I don't know.
What the...
She
does not obey you?
Obey? That's a tough word to say. She believes in me. That's a good word. She believes in me, and she believes in some of the stuff. I would say we obey each other. We try to, but you got to admit when it comes to social situations. You put a Farley in the room, it's going to get a little odd, awkward. I'm going to say something wrong. I say something wrong to salesmen, and my kids all go, let's go put John, Dad in front of that Samson dealership at Best Buy and see what happens. And I'm like, are they noise canceling? Where are we? And they're all like, he was crazy. Salesmen don't know what I'm talking about. You barely know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm wondering now.
I ramble sometimes, and I don't know what I say, but I try.
So let me ask, what is it like being married to a woman that will not obey you?
What is it like to be married to a woman that will not obey me?
Right. Or does not, will not obey you?
It's freeing. How about if I did, was married to something like that, I would think that would be a freeing relationship because you don't obey me. Let's see what happens. And then, because if you're wrong and you don't obey me, you do something wrong, I'm going to laugh. See, where I come from, if you screwed up and you mess up and you do something wrong, everyone, all four brothers and sister, point the finger and go, ha, 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 you're an idiot. And then my dad goes, what's going on? Because we're all trying to impress mom and dad. And so if they don't obey, and they're on their own. They're sailing that ship on their own, and they mess up. Oh, God, it's going to come raining down on you like the 4th of July. I don't know.
And
but
so,
you're just going to be like...
And so you're saying, so married to a woman that will not and does not obey you is like, what, let her...
It's freeing because you go, okay, then you're going to be on your own. And then if they mess up, then you get to laugh at them. And you go, remember that time? And it's not just once. You can go, remember that time when you were like, hey, I got a good idea. Let's go left, not right. And we went, hit every stoplight, and we went around in a circle. We got in a traffic jam, hit a lady with a shopping cart, and rolled over a stroller. And then we finally got to our destination. I said, go right the whole time, and you went left. And you keep saying that, and you keep repeating that. Eventually... you'll go, oh, okay, let's come up with something together and not, let's obey each other, right?
And so how do you deal with the hell when it comes out of her?
How do I deal with hell when it comes out of her?
You know how hell comes out of the women, right? Especially wives, right?
Yeah.
How do you deal with the hell when it comes out of your wife?
I go silent. And then I just go silent and I go, yeah. But then sometimes if you go, okay, right. And then you're just saying right because I'm yelling at you. Yeah, right, You're not even listening to me, right?
And so that's how you deal with the hell?
Yeah.
What a mess.
I know, but I always say I'm sorry. But then I say I'm sorry too much. I'm constantly screwing up, mind you. So you've got to have, she needs a doctorate to... just to be married to me.
Really?
Oh, my God. So many times I've done things.
Did you know before you marry her that she was not going to obey you?
Did I know before I was going to marry that she was not going to obey me?
Yes.
No, everyone obeys everybody eventually.
They
put on a front, yes.
And so when you woke up the morning after the night of the honeymoon, did you say, oh my God, what have I done here? Who is this person?
No, that never happens that way.
Why not?
It does. It slowly develops. I screw up enough times that eventually she's going to go, holy God, this man can't. We've got to sail this ship together. I made sure I married a girl that we could sail the ship together, that I wasn't the, hey, follow me, young lady. I've got it all planned out.
And really?
My God, who does have it planned out? Nobody does.
Did your mother obey your father?
Did my mom obey my father? They were funny. My dad was a comedian kind of a deal, and my mom was the prankster. So she was the one that was always coming up with, like, she'd be the one that was the devil's advocate of things. Like, say, why don't you shove it up your butt? And then she'd be like, I don't know who said that. Who said that?
So she did not obey your father?
She obeyed her. She obeyed him as much as you could obey. But she'd get in trouble. For sure she would get in trouble. And then she would say, well, I don't know what happened. What's going on? And then she could yell back. They'd both yell. And then they'd always nudge one of the kids. Watch this. This meatloaf is pretty dry. And then you'd hear my mom in the kitchen go, how dare you? And start yelling.
So it was difficult for your father to deal with your mother?
It was difficult for my father. No. No. I think they enjoyed ribbing each other. That's what they enjoyed. So it was good back and forth banter, and the audience was the kids, and we'd always watch like, look at this fight. This is fun.
Who were you closer to you? Oh, the ambulance.
Oh, the
Hold
ambulance.
On 1 minute.
Yeah. I called that. For...
Every time we taped the show, somebody died.
I knew it. I knew it. That's going to happen. Every time we tape, somebody dies. Boy, they asked us to stop taping, but no.
And so who were you closest to, your father or your mother?
Closest to my mom, but I tried to impress my dad, but I was closest to my mom.
And why not closer to your father?
Oh, because he was very smart. He was a genius. He was very, 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 very smart, and he knew quite a bit. I went for advice to my dad and stuff. But I'd always try, and he was the one you'd show the third grade artwork to. Like, look what I did. I drew this.
Right,
look
absolutely.
What I did. Look what I did. Dad, I can do a flip off the diving board. And then my mom would be like, hey, I knocked up a girl on the... No, I never said that. But I'd always, go to my mom with advice about, different things or plans. You make plans with mom, and then with dad, you try to impress.
Right. And so when you were a kid and you were asked your father to help you deal with your mother, when he helped you deal with her?
No, we never, we didn't. I don't remember having a conversation. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, Dad, Mom's not letting me go to this guy's house and I want to go.
Or she imposed her will on you.
Yeah.
Our mother tried to control you.
Yeah.
Impose your will and all that. Would your father help you deal with that when it happened?
No, it always seemed like they were a united front. So I got the feeling that they had already spoken before. And they were very good at manipulating these children. We're talking Farley children here, so we needed manipulation. We needed some trick up their sleeve. And their trick would always be, I heard you come in at 3 a.m. last night. And you go, no, it was 1:00. And they go, aha. I knew it was later than you were supposed to be in. I'm like, but you said 3.
So did you forgive him for not protecting you from your mother? Did you tell him, I forgive you for not protecting me from my mother?
Protecting me, yeah. My mom, she was 5'2", and we were all gigantic 300-pound children. But she had wielding a giant wooden spoon, which we'd always laugh. She'd break wooden spoons over our heads and backs and everything. We'd be like, that's cute. Look, she tried to tame us. And she'd be like, stop, do what I say. And smash, the thing would break, and we'd laugh at her. And she'd be like, please, boys, please. We'd be like, all right, Mom. And then she all gave us a T-shirt about 5 years ago that says, I'm a survivor of the Wooden Spoon Club.
What a mess.
Yeah.
So are you a Christian?
Catholic, yes. You're a Christian, yeah.
Christian. And how do you know you're a Christian?
How do I know? Because I go to Mass every day. I believe in God. I believe in the Scripture, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And I one time asked my dad, I said, hey, you know, my friends, dude, they don't have to go to Mass every Sunday. Why do we have to go to Mass every Sunday? And my dad goes, he goes, you got 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, and you can't give one of those hours, all those hours in the week, one of them to God. Come on.
Yeah.
Of course you can. You know, just it's one. It's all he's asking for.
So he went to, your father went?
Yeah, we all went to Mass.
All went, okay. And so do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace? No, nobody has perfect peace. We're practicing.
So
I'm practicing Catholic. So that means, that means I'm not ready for the full game yet. I'm not I'm not in the starting lineup. I'm practicing. I'm you know, it's always a practice every day.
Really?
Yeah.
And so why is the Pope so ticked?
I don't know.
You notice the Pope is ticked.
Tint?
Tit.
Tit?
Yeah, mad.
Oh, he is? He's always mad, yeah. Yeah, he gets, you know, it sounds like he's mad. He's always yelling. He was very soft, I saw, in the Easter Vigil. Barely even talked. I watched him on TV, and he was like, And then he handed it off to some other guy.
He's like, speak up. Your name
Welcome to the Easter Vigil. That was the Pope? I couldn't even hear him.
I saw him at one of the Pope rallies.
Yeah?
And you know how a bunch of folks come around, they want to meet him and shake his hand? And there was this one Asian woman trying to shake his hand.
Yeah.
So he was like, moving about. He was trying to. And she grabbed his hand, and he went, take your hands off me.
No way, really?
I was like, the Pope is ticked.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So what is it like living without perfect peace?
What is it like living without perfect peace?
Yeah, what does that feel like to you?
It feels like, you know, you've got to, you got to recognize it first off, that you're not in perfect peace.
Yeah.
And you got to know that you're trying to get there. So if you can recognize, first thing is recognition. I understand I'm not at perfect peace.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out how to get there. How do you get to perfect peace?
That's, you asking me that? Oh, yeah. You're saying
you know
it to
it?
Yourself.
Do you know how to do it? I don't.
Do you believe it is possible to have perfect peace right here on earth? You don't have to wait until you die.
No.
You don't believe that's possible?
No.
And why not?
Because life changes every second of the day. Peace would be if you're all by yourself. I could have perfect peace, but then you could come up and kick me in the shin and spit in my face. And I'd be like, hey, that's bringing some emotion into my life right now. But I didn't ask you to do that. So you can't control what's going on out in front of you.
Right.
You could maybe yourself have inner peace, but it's cause and effect.
So
life.
You do not believe that it's possible to have perfect peace right here on earth?
No.
And how is it possible to believe in God? You do believe in God, right?
Of course.
How is it possible to believe in Him and not have perfect peace? How is that possible?
God doesn't want you to have perfect peace.
But He sent His Son that you may have perfect peace.
You want to have, God also gives us pain and sorrow and suffering, and we're better for that. We learn from that and we grow from that. It's always a learning curve. You learn from heartache and pain and sorrow just as much as you learn from triumphs and championships and winning.
So you don't believe that the Father sent His Son that you may have perfect peace?
The Father sent His Son down to earth that all of us could have perfect peace.
Yes.
I don't think. I believe He sent His only Son down. Oh boy, now I got to learn, figure out my religion. Go ahead, Grant. What is it, Grant? What is? To forgive of all of our sins, yes. Okay.
And that you may have he said, I came that you may have perfect peace.
He did.
Yeah.
And forgiveness of
all
our
sins. You don't believe that?
I believe, well, then he was crucified, so there goes that perfect peace. It's all out the window now. But I'm sure, basically, if they would have said, hold on now, I'm going to change my vote. I say keep Barabbas in prison, and we'll let Jesus out. What about that night after they let Barabbas out? Like when they said, right. Who do we let out? This psycho killer,
right.
Barabbas onto the street, or Jesus? And they all go, Barabbas,
yeah.
As we all say. And then that night, damn well, you know, Barabbas came knocking on somebody's door, and he's like, and I should have voted Jesus.
That's for
Why
sure.
Why did I vote Jesus?
And so you don't believe that, do you know he came that you may have perfect peace?
I do know that he came to forgive our sins. And the perfect peace part would come and once you pass on to the heavenly earth. I don't know if you could try to obtain perfect peace on earth. You could try.
Well, he said you could have it, not try. I came, which is easier for you to believe, that you are a sinner or all your sins have been forgiven?
What's easier to believe?
For you to believe. Which is easier for you to believe?
Both.
That you are a sinner?
I am a sinner.
Or all your sins have been forgiven?
And all my sins get forgiven on believe.
They have been forgiven, right?
Yes, if you believe,
so if you
what
believe,
you've done is wrong. But if you're like, aha, I know I'm not supposed to drink water, but I'm gonna do it anyway, huh?
So if you believe that all your sins have been forgiven,
yeah.
Why do you believe you are a sinner?
Well,
because they've been given and been wiped away, right?
Yeah, but they come back.
And so, how do they come back?
How do they come back?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not supposed to drink this water because it's a sin, but I'm going to drink it anyway. I'm really thirsty. There, look at that. Just came back. Please forgive me. I got to drink this water. Oh, I'm really thirsty. So you just, you know, and you forgive your sins, and then you go back because you're thirsty or you're practicing water and need or you want to do it is two different things. If you believe,
so which
you want,
you
need
easier,
forgiveness.
Yeah, which is it easier for you to believe that you are a sinner?
Okay.
Or all your sins have been wiped away?
What's easier to believe?
For you.
That I'm a sinner and that I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. That's what we say before every communion. I know I'm not worthy to receive the communion today, this week, this Sunday, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. That's what we say in Mass every Sunday.
Oh.
And therefore, that's a saying of, that's asking for forgiveness. We also go to confession and we say, hey, I've done this, this, and this. These are the things that stand out. I'm sure there's stuff in the background where some guy went, hey, John Farley, how are you? Come here. And I didn't hear him. And they walk by and the guy goes, what a jerk. He didn't even look at me, didn't even acknowledge me. He's some sort of stuck-up jerk, which sounds like a sin. That guy thinks I sinned, but I didn't even see him. Or I didn't even know what he was talking about. And those are sins that you don't remember or you didn't do, so you can't confess those.
Can you give me, nothing personal, but
yeah.
Give me an example of what is sin.
What's a sin?
Yeah.
Would be, here's a good one, that... you go to, what about those self-checkout stands now? You guys at the grocery store?
I never use those.
I know. Well, some people
do. You know
do.
Why I never use them?
Why?
Because I'm black and slow and I can't figure them out.
Oh, yeah. It took a while. I couldn't figure out when you had when it comes to vegetables, I quit.
Yeah.
Because you got to weigh them and you got to know what they are. I don't know.
I want a person.
If I got something simple, like a shampoo or something basic, three or four things, then I'll do it. But if it's a lot.
I don't even go for that.
I know.
I just go to the teller.
I know. What if you I've got an apple, two apples, a thing of meat, and this can of corn. I'm just going to throw it in the bag. Well, that's a sin. You're
stealing. That's a sin? Why is that a sin?
Because you stole.
You stole?
You stole from somebody, and that's not acceptable. You can't steal.
And does it say in the Bible that stealing is a sin?
Yes, thou shalt not steal.
But it didn't say it was a sin.
That's the
Ten it was a commandment, but not a sin.
Well, it's not one of the major sins. Yeah,
give me an example of a major sin.
Is murder? Murder is a major sin.
And why do you call that a sin?
Because do you believe your soul is your property and that's nobody else's? That you made your soul? Do you believe you have a soul?
Yes.
Did you believe you made your soul?
Nope.
Okay. So if I come in and I stab you in the heart and your soul leaves your body, is that means I took away something that wasn't yours or mine?
God doesn't call that a sin. Why do you?
God does call it a sin. Murder is a sin.
No.
What is it? What is murder?
We shouldn't murder one another.
It's another ambulance?
Somebody died, I told you.
I told you. See, that guy maybe have sinned or been sinned on. Somebody sinned him.
That's right. No? So God doesn't call murder a sin. Why do you call it that?
Because I thought it was one of the major sins, like one of the ones you're going to have to go to purgatory for. Do you believe in purgatory?
Oh, yeah. It's alive and well.
Yeah. That's where they burn all the bad sins out of you that you've done throughout your life.
That's right.
And then once you get them all burned, that's terrifying to me. But you've got to be cleansed so you can go up to heaven so you don't have those earthly weights on you or the tarnish or the stains upon you. And then I would think murder would be a pretty big stain. You're going to need a little more than OxyClean to get out.
So God doesn't call us killing.
God doesn't call it a sin.
No.
No. What does he call it?
I wonder why human beings call it that when he doesn't. And a lot of Christians call it that. I know.
I would think murder, divorce, isn't divorce a major sin?
Nope.
Oh, okay. What is a major sin?
I'm going to tell you in a minute.
All right.
But let me ask.
Thank goodness.
What is it like for you to live with anger?
What is it like for me to live with anger?
Yeah.
Freeing. God bless anger.
Oh, you love your anger?
You know, sometimes I like to bottle it up deep down inside me and explode it out at an inappropriate time, say at a referee at my kid's soccer match. Or, anger is, I think anger is hilarious. I like anger only because it's funny, because it's people lose control. And then I don't like to have anger. I don't like to have the real anger. I like to portray anger.
Right.
And then go, but I don't like to. When I have pure anger and I'm mad at something,
yes.
Everyone, no one likes it. They're all like, don't be mad. Don't be mean. Ah, that guy. And every time you take a crosswalk, there's always somebody with a walker trying to walk in front of you. Yeah. I missed the light. Stupid trains, and then you're like, all right, there's no reason to have anger.
And so what is it like to live with anger for you?
What is it like to live with anger?
Yeah.
It is...
What does that feel like to you? What's it like?
Sometimes it's fun, and then sometimes it's... when it's pure anger, yeah. Then it sucks. It's no fun. I don't like pure anger.
Why don't you drop your anger? You don't have to have it. Why don't you just drop it?
Sometimes my wife doesn't want to hear it, so I should drop it, but I've got to get it out. I've got to say why that person's a jerk, or I hate this, or I don't want to do this, or I'm tired and I don't want to move the couch, or I don't want to water a plant and take it down. I don't care about a stupid light bulb and get angry. And then you've got to say why, and then she's like, I don't want to hear it. But if I don't get it out, then it festers in me, and then I'll fight tooth and nail to get out because I don't want to get the ladder out and unscrew the light bulb and put in a new light bulb. That's why I'm mad.
Amazing.
How
do you deal with your wife's anger?
How do I deal with my wife's anger? Yeah. What I do is I listen, and then I was the youngest of the Farleys, so I was what's called the gopher or the problem solver. So when they couldn't figure out, my parents and brothers and sisters' anger and fits were always very simplistic. It wasn't very difficult. Like, I hate the way the weather and patterns match. It wasn't something insane like, right. You know, I don't like the unilateral church and the political, because I couldn't figure that out. But it's usually like, God dang clicker doesn't have any power left in it. I can fix that. So I fix things. I go over, I'll get the waters. I'll get the pillow if you need a pillow or a blanket. I'm the guy that runs back and forth and is like, all right, here we go. Ooh, you got those lines on the TV. I know how to fix it. You just got to turn that little cable thing in the back, and then I'll fix it. All right, here we go. So when my wife has anger, I try and find ways to fix it because that's what I was built for.
You try to fix her anger?
Yeah, I try and fix whatever she's frustrated and angry with. And if it's me, then I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, yeah. Then I'll lie and say it was one of the kids.
Really?
No, don't do that, no.
Amazing. So do you believe that you can live totally free of anger? No anger at all? No one can ever make you angry again right here on earth?
No.
Do you feel that?
No way.
And why not? Why don't you?
Because God also gave us free will and freedom of choice. You could want that. We all would want that. But that sounds like, that sounds controlling. It kind of sounds like God's, someone, I'm about to kick you in the shin and spit in your face. God says no. Or you do it and you don't feel it. You got to have feelings. You got to have ups and downs in life. If you don't have any feelings toward that, toward somebody kicking you in the shin and spitting in your face, then you don't care about that person.
Amazing.
Then you don't care about anything. It sounds narcissistic.
Really? So you believe that you have a free will?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a free will, why don't you will yourself to have perfect peace?
The key word in there is yourself.
Right.
Yourself. You could try and free will yourself into having perfect
and
peace.
And why don't you do that if you have a free will?
Can you free will me to have perfect peace?
No.
You?
No.
No, you can't.
No.
Okay.
So if you, but you say
I'm
you
gonna
have,
make it my life
free will,
mission to you don't have peace.
Free will mean that you do what you want, right?
Yeah, I can do whatever I want, so.
So why not will yourself to have, give it all the anger and have perfect peace? Why not?
Because I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to let you have perfect peace.
No, I'm saying you for you.
I know. Oh, I'm going to say I want perfect peace. I'm going to work, and I'm going to make sure the rest of my life has perfect peace. Now, you over there are going to say, uh-uh. I'm going to make it my life's will.
Oh,
that
you
are going to be so frustrated and angry for the rest of your life. I'm going to kill your dog. I'm going to pee in your coffee every morning at work.
So
I'm
going
to make sure. And you're like, why would you want to do that? Be like, I don't know. You want to try perfect peace? I want to see if you can have perfect peace. So I'm going to make it my life's mission.
You test that, huh?
So, yeah. So that's why it's, you can always try and live in harmony, but there's so many people out there. Yourself, that's thinking narcissistically. You could try and want world peace and
that's
live
never
by
gonna
example.
Happen.
Let's live by example.
But if you are an individual, right? You're a grown person, you're an individual, you are responsible for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Am I right?
Yes.
And why would you let anyone else bring their hell into your world? Since you are responsible for your world.
Right.
And they can only get in there if you allow that to happen. Why would you allow that to happen?
Because I needed to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and I did not know that barista was going to try and kill me for the rest of my life. Because you also have to interact with people. So you have to, I mean, you could live in perfect peace on a mountain, never talking to anyone for the rest of your life. But you can't stand, you if you want to live a fruitful life and you want to help others and you want to show others, lead by example, and you want to show people, you're going to have to interact with people. You're going to have to find out what's wrong. And if you've got perfect peace, and somebody's crying and sitting on a gutter crying, don't you want to go up and say, what's wrong? How can I help you? Are you okay? And then they go into a giant story of like, that guy I do, but that guy over there killed my family dog and peed in my coffee every morning. And then you're like listening to it like, oh, my God, really? Yeah, he took my parents away, and I'm all alone. And he just burned my house down, and now I'm just sitting here by myself on the street crying. And you look up, and you go, that guy right there? Yeah. Are you still, think you have perfect peace? Or do you want to go, you know what? Maybe I should ask why that guy did that. Why did that guy burn the house down, pee in his coffee, and kill it or take his parents away? And in your head, that's not perfect peace. That's trying to figure out why that guy is sick and wrong. So you're going, So there's all of a sudden perfect peace. All of a sudden just cracked open a little bit. And you're like, oh, I'm a little mad at that guy. And I want to figure out why he did all that. Right there, there's a little bit of anger because you're thinking there's something wrong with him. Hey, there's something wrong. Why would you do that?
That's amazing.
And then you're like, oh, so now you just cracked it open a little bit. And all you were trying to do is help the kid that was sitting on the in the gutter.
I got so much I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Just have it going by. But let me ask. You said earlier that God give you pain.
Yes, he does.
And what made you think God give you pain?
God gives you pain and suffering, and that's a gift from God.
So you think that God give you pain and suffering as a gift?
Yes.
Why would he do that to you?
Because that's free will. Because if he didn't, that's a manipulating God that wants to shield you from pain and suffering. And you won't learn. There's somebody in an ambulance.
Somebody died.
There's another one.
Ambulance went by, folks, and we just heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Pain and suffering helps you grow, and it is a gift by understanding the free will that you're given. It's a gift from God to let you know that you are your own person. You have your own.
So, if
free
God
will.
Sent His Son to take away your pain and make you free,
yes.
And wipe away all your tears,
yes.
Why would He turn around and give you pain?
Because there's lessons in pain, there's lessons in suffering, there's growth in that. There's growth in also on the flip side of winning and triumphs and that you grow from both sides. But if
really?
You only had if you didn't have pain and suffering and you only had winning, do you learn anything or do you just learn I'm a winner? I win everything.
But there is pain and suffering, but it's not from God.
It's free will. It's God's. God looks down upon it, and he probably says, I'm here for you. I am right here next to you.
When
you
really?
Don't worry, I'm not going to let you suffer. I'll do the best I can. I'm the shoulder you can cry on.
So do you love God?
Very much, yes, of course.
Why would you love someone that would give you pain and suffering? Where's the love in that from him?
I know. Did God give you the pain and suffering, or did you create the pain and suffering that's in front of you? Did you somehow, are you the one that drove drunk and smashed into somebody's mailbox and crashed into the car and had to go spend the night in jail? And are you going to say, I didn't do that. God made me. God was supposed to put me back on the road and drive me home. Like, no.
Amazing.
You were the one that was driving the car.
Do you create your own thoughts?
You create, you can create your own thoughts.
Do you create your own thoughts?
I try to create, as my wife likes to say, she's very good at this. She goes, you want to have good thoughts, positive thoughts, and say positive things, and therefore, do you believe in manifesting like good things in your life? And you say, hey, I'm going to go to this cocktail party tonight, and everyone's going to be very nice, and no one's going to have any horrible things to say, and I'll have one beer and then I'll go home and I'll walk home and it'll be a great night. And or so do you say, God dang, Johnsons are going to be at that party and I hate them with all of my, he thinks he's so neat with his flamingo.
And so you create your own thoughts.
If you create your own thought, yes, you do.
And so if you create your own thoughts, why do you create negative thoughts for yourself? Thoughts that make you have fear or make you doubt or make you worry, that create pain for you. And you believe you have a free will too.
Right.
If you create your own thought and you have a free will, why not just create all good thoughts?
What's the fun in that? Come on, you got to have some fun.
Oh, you like pain?
No, it's not that. It's just that, all right, let's put it in a sports context. You're going up against a team that's undefeated, and you made it into the championship.
But I'm talking barely. About that pain when you're all alone. No one is around.
No one's around.
And
okay.
You have the fear. It feels empty. And
yes.
Do you create those thoughts?
Yes.
And why would you create those thoughts for yourself?
Why would you? You would think you would create them because I don't know. You feel sorry for yourself, or you want to, you want other people to. You were looking for help, or you're looking for a solution, but you don't want to say it out loud. You don't want to show that you're a weakling. Like, I'm sad, but I don't want to say I'm sad out loud.
Oh,
people don't know I'm sad. Maybe that's crazy me saying that. But if I'm thinking negative thoughts and I'm by myself, I don't want people to know it, because I don't want people to think I take pity on me or anything. So that's why I
keep them. Possible you don't create thoughts?
Yeah, sure.
It is possible. I got to move on, but I got to ask.
Yes.
If you knew for sure that it was possible to have perfect peace right here on earth.
Okay.
And that you don't have a free will.
Yeah.
And that you don't create thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And that you, all of your sins have been washed away and you're free. Would you take advantage of that?
Would I take advantage of it?
Would you want to accept that? Or do you love your misery?
I love my misery. I'll take that. I don't want to have somebody parting the...
So you would not
I want that, but I don't want someone to control that. I want to be able to control that.
So
I can't control that if somebody's saying, don't worry, you'll never have to see that sort of thing. That's censorship, I believe, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be you're being censored and shielded and you won't. Didn't Siddhartha Gautama, I believe, the Buddha, and when he was a younger kid, he was rich beyond belief, and he came from a palace.
Who's that?
Buddha.
He was a big fat guy.
Siddhartha Gautama, I believe, I remember his name correctly, and his father said, don't torture any slaves, don't kill anyone, nobody cry. Everyone's happy and everything's nice all along their life. And then every time he wandered up and down the palace, everyone's like, hey, everything's fine and great. There's no torture and there's no anything. We want to be here. And then one day he like went around the corner
why do you think
and
that
saw
that's
people
what,
crying.
Why do you think that that's what perfect peace means?
Why do I think? Peace sounds like no violence, correct? Or sounds like there's no turmoil. Or that sounds like there's no ripple in the water, right?
And you,
the lake is at peace. There's not, it's glass. There's not one ripple coming off it. And then all of a sudden somebody chucks a stone in there and it goes, ooh. You're like, oh, it's not in peace anymore. There's something going on.
And where are you getting those ideas that that's what peace means? Are you getting it from your thoughts right now?
No, it's from those crazy Greenpeace people.
What do you
mean?
It's
got green peace right in the title. No, I don't know what I'm saying. Where am I coming up with these? I think about peace. That's what I think.
I promise you, if you really wanted it, you can have it right now.
You promised me if I could have peace, you can give it to me.
Yeah, I can't give it to you. I can't give it to you, but you can have it if you want it.
Really?
But you don't want it.
No.
Well, then if you don't want it, you're totally free to stay in your hell.
That's not hell. Why would it be hell? If it's not 100%
emotions,
peace.
Emotions are hell.
But if it's
you
not.
You know how they're up, so you feel good for a while, you feel all good. As soon as you feel good, something, a thought come or something happened, now you're down.
Right.
And then you're all down, and then you're up again.
Yeah.
And then you're down again. And after a while, you want to jump off a bridge, right?
Usually there's water or I have an
abundance. Isn't that hell to live that way?
But
you don't want peace.
Well, there's also, here's another thought. Do you believe that we're all up in heaven? I knew you, I knew everybody here, and we all were like, dude, we got called, we're angels, we got called on earth, we're going to go down there, I'm going to be a kid, I'm going to learn all these things, all these emotions, all these ups and downs, and I'm going to do all this, I'm going to live an entire life of gathering anger and happiness and the ultimate sadness and love and aggression and turmoil, and then I'm going to die. I'm going to come right back to where we were before, and I'm going to be like, wow, do you remember all those crazy emotions we had? That's nuts. Now we're all happy. We're all happy angels, but we've learned a little something.
Do you believe there is hell?
We're soldiers.
You believe there's hell?
Oh, yeah.
You believe there's evil?
Yeah.
You believe it's evil?
Oh, you? Do you believe there's evil?
There's totally evil. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So you don't want peace. That's interesting.
It's not that I don't want peace. I want to learn from different emotions. I want to learn from anger, and I want to learn from happiness.
But you've been had it all your life, and you never learned anything from it.
I've had what all my life? I've had anger all my life.
Up and down emotionally.
I had to have learned something.
You've been up and down emotionally.
Yeah.
You feel good, you feel bad, you feel angry, you feel this, you feel frustrated. You had all that all your life, and you haven't learned a thing from it.
I have.
No, you haven't.
I've learned, don't trust a girl that says, I was faithful to you when you went out of town, when you went on that family high school vacation, I was faithful for you the whole Christmas break. And you're like, why would you even bring that up? I don't know. I didn't go out with your best friend, and everything's fine.
But yet you went and trusted another one.
Exactly. But you learned a little bit. I didn't learn.
Right. You have not learned anything.
No. Yes, you have. You learn a little bit. You're not going to learn more
peace.
You
have not learned from your...
You can't learn the whole dictionary in one sitting. You're going to have to take page by page.
But you have not learned from your misery.
No. But I had a blast trying to.
What a mess. Amazing. Yes. So since you don't want to know, I'm not going
to
tell you.
Come on. You have to tell me. I want peace.
No, you don't.
But I just want to be able to, if you give me peace in like a little basket, like Little Red Riding Hood, and I can look at it and be like, oh, that's peace.
I can't give it to you. No human being can give it to you.
Oh, really?
No money can give it to you. No children, no nothing can give it. No fame and glory.
Right.
But you don't want it. That's why you don't have it.
I don't want.
You don't want perfect peace. You love
perfect
your
peace.
You love your hell.
I do, a little bit. I do love it. I don't want more than can fit on my plate, but I will take whatever's on my plate, and I will have to. Also, it's a good workout for the brain to figure out how to maneuver different things and be like, I got to figure out how to get
what
this mortgage settled.
What a sad way to live. Isn't that like a sad way to live?
Probably. That's why I'm a comedian.
But you love it.
Yeah.
You love your misery.
I do.
Right. Yeah. I meet people all the time that love their misery. But then I meet people that don't, so I do understand. But let me ask. I don't know if you want to talk about your brother. I read that you found Chris, your brother.
I did.
Dead in his hotel room.
It was our apartment, in Chicago.
How old were you at the time?
Let's see. He was 33, so I would have been 29.
Really?
Yeah, about 4 years apart.
So, if you don't mind talking about it, if you don't, I totally understand.
Uh-huh.
What was it like to walk into the apartment and there he is dead?
At first, I thought it was a joke. And then it turned, at first I thought it was a joke, and I was like, come on, get up, we got to get going. Then I realized it was horrific, it was something wrong. Panic ensues, ringing in your ear, making all the wrong phone calls, calling the police, and I'm like, he's dead, and calling ambulances, because they're all on. Chris Farley is in the, and yeah. Then all the reporters are on there. Yeah. So then I made that mistake, and I got the entire news and police force circling the John Hancock building. Yeah, that was a tough one. That was rough. And then making the phone call to your father and mother. Oh, and that's a tough one, too.
Yeah.
How do you say that? Hey, Johnny, what's going on? How is it like in Chicago? And then the next sentence out of your mouth has got to be, Chris is dead. And that wasn't easy. So that's a tough one. Yeah.
Are you over it now?
Am I over it? No, but you're never over it. It's always there, and it always will. I always see it, and it's always, I always have it. It won't go away.
Was it like a shock to walk in and see him dead?
Yes.
It was a shock to your sister?
Shock, all the senses, the smells, the sights, the feelings. It's something you've never, unless you have experienced that, it's different than you've ever experienced. Yeah, never had that. Never again have I had that. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because that's not like watching grandma die in the hospital.
Right, that's right.
It's a little different. So, yeah, it's a lot different.
So no. When you, before you found him dead, were there any clues that he would do something like that? Or,
no, he didn't want to do that. No. We didn't believe that would happen, sort of thing.
Were there any clues that you were like unhappy or
it was all fun and games. So we're not a sad family. It's like,
right.
I'm just going to kill myself. We were all just like, let's have fun. And I guess we had too much fun.
I saw a documentary on his life. I was watching some documentary program and I saw this. And I always thought him funny. He was like really excellent comedian.
He's funny.
And I saw this documentary about him, and it said that, and I, you know, you never can believe films anyway, or what people say. But it said that he was not happy playing a fat person. He wasn't happy eating all the food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He did it, but inwardly he wasn't really happy that way. He didn't want people to see him as the fat guy.
Right.
Blah blah blah. Is that true?
Yeah, sure. It's true. You don't want to be the fat guy. You'd always look at like stuff. And then I have what's called an enormous head. And so we'd go to, my brother would take me to hat stores. He'd be like, yeah, try this hat on. And it was like tiny. Yeah. I was like, none of these hats fit in the store. And he goes, that's how I feel going to I can't buy off the rack.
Yeah.
And I go, I get it. Yeah, because there's some cool hats here I'd love to buy.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't do that. But when I looked at nowadays, which is strange, I've tried on some of his, my brother Kevin tried on one of his leather coats and it didn't fit him. And he goes, wait a minute, am I bigger than Chris was? Because it fit Chris.
Whoa.
And he goes, what's going on here? So maybe they made clothes differently back then. That's what we're going with. No, he didn't, it's not that he would never get mad. At like, hey, you're, unless it was somebody that was trying to hurt him by going, you're fat. But if they said it in a funny way, he could laugh that off. He'd be like, whatever. But if they were trying to hurt him by saying you're fat,
right.
Then he'd get upset. But if, for the most part, he would, he didn't like it only for the, he used it. Let's just say he'd always have fun using it.
Right.
Like, so he'd be like, oh, it's because I'm fat. He'd say something funny like that.
Yeah.
Because it would be a way to, like, maneuver conversations. He was good at that.
Do you believe racism exists?
Do I believe racism exists?
Yes.
I don't know. Since you've gone so far into God and, now I don't know what I'm supposed to think. Is this a trick question? Is there another another plane that we're on here. Let me think. Being in another plane, I suppose, the reality of it is, I think there's, I don't know, racism. Yeah, there's probably racism down. People are stupidly like, yeah, there's racism. Probably, yeah.
So you believe racism is this?
Sadly, I guess. I mean, I would think there would be, I don't know. Yeah, there's people out there that are, when you, we've all encountered some people where you're like, that's a weird thing to say. You're like,
What's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. That doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know what there's nothing wrong with human beings. I don't know.
You don't know what's wrong with the blacks?
There's no way. No, there's nothing wrong with the blacks. There's nothing wrong with, I don't know what a human being, a man, the men or the women, then if they have problems, then they have their own problems. But there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong with blacks. I don't.
Are you serious?
I don't. Is there? Do they? Are they? Is there? So I don't think there's anything wrong with them.
There's nothing wrong with the blacks.
As far as, is there anything wrong with them? No, they're normal human beings. They're
I grew up on a plantation in Alabama.
Yeah.
And I picked cotton.
Okay.
Did the whole deal.
Okay.
And grew up under Jim Crow law.
Okay.
And I want to tell you, there's no such thing as racism. It's a made-up word.
It's a made-up word?
Yeah.
Who made it up?
I believe the Civil Rights Movement people, Martin Luther King, all those dudes.
Yeah.
They did it because they wanted to take control of the blacks.
Uh-huh.
And so they told them, oh, the white man's against you. Come to us and we'll save you. And then they took, brainwashed them and took control of their life, because prior to that, black people did not believe racism. It was not even no word. In a
there
way
was
like
no
that.
Word for it. That was my next question. What was the word for racism before?
It was good and evil. It's
good
either
and evil.
Good and evil. And,
yeah.
And black people and white people in the South treated each other the way they would like to be treated.
Yeah.
The mean white one and the mean black one treated each other in a mean way.
Yeah.
But it was a spiritual battle. It was no such thing as racism. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a spiritual battle, warfare between good and evil.
Okay. I could see, I could see, like, you know, there's good and evil. I could see the evil people.
What's wrong with the blacks? They keep crying. We have done everything we could do for them. We're giving them affirmative action.
Yeah.
We're giving them welfare.
Yeah.
We're giving them the white neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
We even gave them the white woman.
Uh-huh.
And they still not happy.
No, they're not.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. I don't know. Let me think here. I don't think as a general whole business. I don't know. I would say, what else? What else?
We're giving them the white universities.
Yeah.
Now they want separate dorms.
They want separate dorms?
Yeah,
why?
They don't want to be with the white man.
They don't?
Mm-mm.
That's sad. I'm telling you, some of us are fun. We're fun people. We're all fun.
So let me ask, how does it feel? You're white, right?
Yeah, Irish. Danish people, those are the ones that really piss me off. The Danes, if they will. I'm just kidding. I don't know. And the Swiss.
What is it like knowing that for no reason at all, white men especially, white people, period.
Yeah.
But white men are the most hated species on this side of heaven.
I don't know. We're pretty
what
dumb.
What is that like?
What is it like to me?
Knowing that you're hated simply because you're white.
I bet you the best, getting back to my brother Chris, he could turn anyone that hate, the hate that people have, he could turn anyone around. The biggest, ugliest, meanest looking bouncer or guy out there that had not a funny bone in his body.
Yeah.
Chris could pull his pants down or do something with his cheeks or do push-ups or do something funny, anything, and he would turn that guy's frown upside down and make him at least laugh.
So what is it like for you knowing that you have not done anything to these people?
Yeah.
You're not responsible for slavery or any of that crap.
Yeah.
But yet they hate you and blame you for it. And so they hate white people. That's why, but they hate white people, right?
Right.
What is it like knowing as a white man, you're blamed for everything, you have fought for everything. They call you white supremacist, they call you anything, right? And they're blaming you, and you hate it. And the country was founded by white men.
Yeah.
It was for white men, with the help of God, there would be no America, right? What is it like knowing that you would hate it for no reason at all?
I don't know. I would try and make them laugh. By the way, all the best cool movies like the Tuskegee Airmen, those guys are the coolest. And like the in Glory, you ever seen Glory with Denzel Washington? That's the crew. That's the crew you want to hang with.
Are you aware that white men are hated for no reason?
Am I aware that white men are hated for no reason?
Yes.
I have no idea. Yes, I am aware of that.
But how do you feel about that, knowing that?
How do I feel about that, knowing that they're hated for no reason? I would say, let's make them laugh. Let me try to think here. How do I
you
feel?
Like, what the?
I know. No. It's a piece of puzzle. I can figure this one out. Don't worry. So we've got, I'm a white man. People hate me because I'm a white man. Well, why would you hate?
You're to blame for everything.
Yeah, what did I do? What did anyone do?
That's right.
The history. That's the only thing that's always bothered me.
But you had nothing to do with history?
No, nobody did.
Don't know anyone that had anything to do with history?
I'm not going after the king of England. What the heck?
What
are you doing?
Why don't
you
white...
France, England? I'm going to beat the crap out of you.
I got to move a little faster now.
So go for it.
Why don't white men speak up and say, I'm not your problem?
Why? Because I think it all comes from Queen Elizabeth. She and Prince King Charles now. He's the one who started it all and then came down from there. And we're all just like, whoa, what's going on?
What is a man?
A man? Man is a species of... of human man, it's a guy with a wiener, and I don't know what else. A man is a guy that stands up for his beliefs and has an opinion and has care and love in his heart. And a man is a person that can stand behind his own values and stand behind his know what is right and what is wrong. And try and teach the way, the right way. And I know that some people are taught like one certain way that's bad and evil. And then they're like, hey, I'm teaching exactly what I learned. And then you kind of realize, wait a minute, are you sure you're supposed to burn people because they think they're witches? And then you're like, maybe we were wrong. Maybe there aren't witches in the world. Shouldn't burn them.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about
I don't know what you're saying right now.
You don't understand.
I'm black and slow, and I don't know what you're saying.
Like it's evil. Like, all right, so I know. I was brought up. You were brought up. Everyone here was brought up fairly well. Not like, yes, not like we all, parents all had beliefs of, that person is a witch, and we're going to have this Saturday a stake, and we're going to burn her at the stake just to make sure if we see crows flying out of her, then we were all right and she was a witch. And then I teach
pot?
My kids. I used to a lot, not anymore.
You know,
if I did smoke weed, do you smoke weed?
No.
I know. I used to be able to, but I can't. I'd be nuts.
So let me ask. Should men play in women's sports?
Good God, no.
And should women play in men's sports?
No.
Should women have been given the right to vote?
Should women given? Yes. They should be able to vote. They're human beings.
Were women created to be leaders or followers?
Both.
I'm sorry?
Both. You lead. Sometimes you lead. Sometimes I'll lead. Sometimes I'll follow you. Sometimes you follow me.
So would you ever follow a woman?
Yeah.
You would follow a woman?
If she knew the way. If I'm going through a jungle and I'm like, you know what? I don't remember this part because I licked that toad and it was a bit psychedelic. But I know camp somewhere. Do you remember? You didn't lick the toad. All right. I'll follow you. I'll follow the girl.
Really?
You know where you're going?
So you would follow a woman?
if she knew the way out of the jungle and I didn't, I'd follow her.
Women were not created to lead. It's not
women
in them to do.
Women were not created to lead?
Right. They were created to follow.
Who said that?
God and Christ. Christ over man. Man over woman. Woman over children, right?
I don't think that's... Some women are really smart. And so I follow them.
But a monkey's smart, too. Would you follow a monkey?
It depends. That's that one that went to the moon? Yeah, I'd probably follow that one. That guy's pretty smart.
So you believe the order of God, God in Christ?
Yeah.
Christ over man, man over woman, and woman over children?
That's more of a... That's kind of a... merit system, sort of a, I don't know. That's like, employee of the month sort of a deal.
Amazing.
I'm kidding. Oh. God, Jesus, yes. And then
yes, what?
Christ. Over children.
Let me ask this. Is it God in Christ?
Yes.
Christ over man?
Yeah.
Man over woman?
Same thing as far as that goes.
Man over woman?
No, man and woman.
No, man over woman.
How about Christ over human?
What's the difference?
You're separating man and woman. Like, one's a human.
God did that.
One's a human, one's not.
Did the woman come from God or from man?
Adam's rib. So
did the woman come from God or from man?
God.
God and man. So man God?
Well, I mean, I can't make a woman out of a guy's rib. I could try,
so
but
let me
it
do
look
this.
Really
do you
weird.
Support abortion?
Be tiny.
Do you support abortion?
Sure. If they want to have an abortion, go for it.
Really? Is abortion evil?
No, abortions, I don't know about. There's circumstances. I think each... it's tough when you have a law that's... that you have to... enforce like a stoplight, red and green. It's red or it's green. You stop it or you go. I think every individual situation's got to have, but if you're getting abortions like water, then that's a little much. And secondly, it's not my right to say abortions are right or wrong. It's the girl that's doing it.
Is it her body?
It's her body, and she wants to kill somebody.
Did she create her own body?
Go ahead and kill somebody.
Did she create her own body?
Did she create her own body, her own soul? She lives in it. That's her house.
Did she create it?
Did she create it? No.
And so how did it become her own body then? Well, even God said your body is not your own.
Well, it's your temple.
Right. So why does she claim she created it? It's her body when it's not hers.
No, it's her body. It's not her soul. Her soul is God.
She says, it's my body, I do what I want.
Yeah.
So,
if you, so but
is abortion,
it's also
is abortion evil?
Is abortion evil?
Right.
No, yes. Certain situations. It's not if it's a medical, something in the medical field that, like, you have that baby, the baby's going to, you're going to die.
So is abortion evil?
I don't, is abortion evil? Why do you come up with these questions? Yes, sure. It's, I'm going to need a nap after this one. Is abortion evil? It is an individual, thing. And I would say, I wouldn't do it. And I'd wish you wouldn't do it. But if you have to, it's your own body and you're doing it. And, you know, if you're into murder, go for it.
So is abortion evil?
It's in my eyes, if I was the one that was a girl and it was my choice, I would say no, probably. I'd say yeah. I'd say no. I mean, but... it's not me. I'm a guy.
So is abortion evil?
Is abortion evil? I don't know. Yeah, sure. It's in the eye of the beholder. Is the eye of the beholder, let's put it that way. Did I just get out of that one? I think I might have. Holy Lord.
So is abortion evil?
Oh my God. What is happening?
happening.
Is abortion evil? It is. It's an individual. Yes. It's evil if you're doing it like it's butterscotch chocolate, and you're like, these are good. I'm just gonna keep having abortions. But if it's like the doctor says you're gonna die if you don't, then that's not evil. That's saving your lives. Or, hey, we can see the future. I don't know. I'm not gonna make a joke now.
So is abortion evil?
Oh my God! Why are you doing this to me? Is abortion evil?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a woman's. It's her body to have.
You sound like Joe Biden right now.
Oh my gosh. It's tough. It's evil is such a horrible word. Isn't it? Evil conjures up like the devil and like, I'm doing this because I love it. I like doing bad things. Nobody likes doing bad things unless they're bad people. So is abortion bad and evil? It's something that's, I don't know, yeah. It's
so,
in the eye
it?
Of the beholder, I would say, right?
What?
It's in the eye of the beholder. Grant so wants me to punt.
Let me change this, and then we got to end it.
Oh, God.
Don't be late.
So, we have to promote this thing for...
I can't wait to promote all your stuff.
It. No, God, so please don't say it again. Is abortion evil? Is it evil?
I got to put you on the hot seat.
Oh my God, that wasn't the hot seat? Is there a hotter seat? Because I'm in a puddle right now. Let's see.
So I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
There's sweat coming off my man boobs, but go ahead, let's hear it.
So I need you to answer as quickly as possible.
Okay, here we go.
The hot seat.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me no more.
Right.
What is love?
What
is
love?
It's something from the heart. It comes from the heart.
Do you love white people?
Yeah.
Do we need more white babies?
Do we need more white babies? Sure. Babies are fun.
This is our fourth year celebrating White History Month. I started White History
fourth
Month.
Year
I mean, seventh year.
Seventh year selling White History Month?
We've been celebrating White History for 7 years now. Would you celebrate White History this month with us this year?
White History. I don't know. What kind of celebration? What are we talking about here? Parade? I mean, if it's a fun one, yeah. If it's a...
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Is America the best country this side of heaven? Heck yeah.
Did you take the jab?
Did I take a job?
The jab, J-A-B.
Did I take a jab?
The jab.
What's the jab?
The Chinese virus shot.
Oh, the shot.
Yeah.
I took the first one, and then I got bored, and I was like, forget it. Maybe I took one booster. I can't remember. But I didn't do it. No, I didn't take a booster because I didn't need one. I think the one I took didn't need a booster.
Are you voting for the Great White Hope this year?
Who's that?
Who is who?
Who's the Great White Hope?
You don't know who the Great White Hope is?
Dang it, I'm out of touch. You know, it never rains on Sesame Street with children.
Have you ever heard of Donald Trump?
Yes.
He's the Great White Hope.
He is?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Are you voting for him?
These guys are getting really old. Both of them. Why can't we get like a young guy? That's
are you
like,
voting hey, for the Great White Hope this
no,
year?
No, I don't know who I'm voting for. I haven't seen all the debates and stuff yet. And if I was going to vote for, I don't know who I'd vote. I've got a T-shirt that says vote for Chris Farley. That's a funny one.
What was your favorite movie?
Favorite movie of all time?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I liked, let's go with History of the World. That's the most broad. That's the funniest one. Young Frankenstein is pretty good, too.
Okay. Is the Earth flat or round?
Flat? Come on. What's the matter with you? I think we'd roll off, wouldn't we? Go ahead.
Did the bear shit in the woods?
Did the bear shit? Yes. Because if he didn't, I definitely did.
True or false?
And I'll blame him.
True or false, once you go black, you can't go back.
No, you can't. There's nobody, you can't.
Does a chicken have lips?
Does a chicken have lips? Yeah. Butt lips. I don't know. Does a chicken have lips? No, it's got a beak.
Is it a mistake for men to tell women their problems?
Is it a mistake? Yeah, if you want to be a baby. mistake to, no. Yeah, I wouldn't.
True or false, sending your children or child to a public school today is child abuse.
Yeah, I'd say it is. It's a system.
Did you have fun?
I had a fun time. Sweating a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm terrified for my wife to see this. Okay. No, but all right. Let's talk about skin. This is why we came.
Yeah, tell the folks how everything, right. Your website, your books, your tapes, anything you want to put out there.
I know. I'm horrible at all that
talk
stuff.
Talk to that camera.
Talk to this camera. John
More
Farley. Instagram. You can look me up on John Farley. And then... Instagram, that's the thing. It's lowercase John Farley. You'll see me. There's some fun pictures of Chris in there. And then I've got some neat other videos and stuff we put in there. There's that TikTok. I think I have some John Farley in there. And we've got the reason I came here, my buddy Grant, Gary, made Meet Me Where I Am. And this is a story. He went around and interviewed these people of grief. That have survived grief. And Anthony Rapp, David Kessler, John Farley did it. And then Julie Shaw. That's Julie and that's Anthony Rapp. That's a guy from Rent. And he's been in a lot of other stuff. Battlestar Galactica, I believe. And he was in, what was the movie we just saw you were talking about on the way here? Twister. That's right. Remember that? Because there's a new one. Twister's coming out.
And so how can people get it?
This is, here we are. You've got it's on it's Prime Video, Apple TV, or YouTube. Is that right, Grant? And then we Grant did he did one of the, he did all the interviewing. Which now the questions that you were talking about, Chris, and grieving and stuff are candy compared to this guy over here. Holy Lord! This guy he's got some doozies in his pocket that are like. Do you want to be socially outcast or do you want people to love you? Answer the question. Answer these next five questions.
Oh, man.
This is a great thing. So it's called Meet Me Where I Am. And this is what it looks like. And then look for that. And it's got some great, Anthony talks about the guy that made the movie, the musical Rent. And he talks about losing that guy. I talk about Chris and everyone else has a similar story. One guy is a great story ever. I met him. His family is a sad story. Crashed his car, but a semi or somebody hit him in his car, and he took his kid and all of his organs went into other people. So his eyes, his heart, and they all came and met up with him and stuff like that. So they could his son lived through all these people. I'm like, that's amazing. Nobody wanted Chris's organs. Just kidding. I wouldn't want a Farley organ either, except for one.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and thank you for taking the hot seat.
All right.
It was amazing.
Oh, my God. That was a lot of fun, and you got that was great. Now I know why it's called the hot seat. I wouldn't sit in here for a while.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support us by going to thefallestate.tv and locals in the description, locals.com. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, tell your phone, tell your mama, tell everybody about it. I do appreciate it, and let us hear from you. Thanks again. Just support us. Y'all know what to do, all right?
Nice.
And thank you, buddy.
Thank you. That was a blast. That was fun. Hopefully I did all right.
You did amazing.
Oh, I did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
You can start writing up the divorce papers now.